Hello, this is Kirsty Sayer from One Inch by Scary Podcast, and today is April 11th, 2020, and it is our second anniversary of this podcast. So thank you so much for joining me in celebration. I did not know it was a special day until this afternoon, and I thought I would definitely hop on and try to record and actually publish a podcast. I've been trying to do that now for several days. I have a few drafts that I just didn't feel good about publishing because I have been kind of triggered lately. And I hate to use that word because it's so overused. And it's actually like legitimate in the PTSD way triggered. April and May are traditionally very rough months for me in terms of past trauma. And I have a hard time. And we all know that everybody's having a hard time right now, or at least most everybody is going through a lot right now because the world has turned upside down due to the coronavirus pandemic. And I've been doing a lot of thinking about that and how, you know, we are all very, well, I don't want to make this generalization that we all, I think there are some people who are doing just fine, but many, many of us, I'd say the vast majority of us, are fairly shaken up by this illusion of control that we had being upset. We are accustomed to making plans and being able to carry through with those plans and to sort of having a sense of control over our lives and what we do each day and where we go and how things are going to look next week or next month. And now, possibly for the first time in our lives since early childhood, we don't have as much say or autonomy over plans that we may have made before all of this. And it's kind of a shock to the system. And that's to be expected. And it's also to be expected that that can be really traumatic. Apart from whether or not the effects of the coronavirus are really immediately affecting you in the most horrible of ways, that being you are sick or somebody that you love is sick or has passed away from this terrible virus. You could also have lost your financial stability and your security. You might be living somewhere you did not anticipate living right now. Your education might have been disrupted or interrupted. There are a number of different ways that you could be experiencing very real trauma, but there is a milder form of trauma, I think, that so many people who have labored, including myself and most people, it's just a really natural way to be, who have labored under the delusion that we do have control over things. When in fact, we all should know when we think about it for very long that we really don't. That at any moment of any day, every human being is vulnerable to everything in their lives completely changing in an instant. You know, that can happen when you have an accident, or somebody beloved to you has an accident, or you have a change in fortune, either for good or for bad, very suddenly, or something wonderful happens. There are countless instances every single day of people's lives starting off one way when they open their eyes and ending up completely differently from what they planned by that same evening. So this has always been our reality, but we just haven't acknowledged it. And now being forced to acknowledge it so starkly, and all of us at the same time, has been quite dramatic, to say the least. And it sort of, in my opinion, created this like disturbance in the force, right? So there are a lot of people doing a lot of wonderful things right now. I mean, I'm just mind blown. To see the creativity and the courage and the innovation that has just instantly emerged out of this crisis, right? Which is a crisis. It is a crisis on a global level. Nobody has been unaffected by it. I'm sure there are some tribes in some places that are blissfully unaware, but for the most part, the developed world and somewhat developed world is entirely uber and almost constantly aware of the fact that things are very, very different now in many, many ways. And so being faced to starkly sort of face our reality and indeed our mortality, can be very jarring. And to me, I'll tell you the way I've reacted. So first of all, I want to backtrack by saying that I have gone on record, as I do most unwisely often, in saying, you know, crisis reveals character. I've said it to my children. I've said it many times on different very public social media platforms that I'm on. I've said it to my friends, and I've said it somewhat self-righteously. And every night when I go to bed, it runs through my mind, crisis reveals character. What has your character been revealed to be today? And I have to admit that I have not been very happy with my character vis-a-vis coronavirus so far. So I'm struggling to find a balance between forgiveness and grace and the recognition that this is indeed a tough month for me historically, or a tough couple of months. I have, in the last 5 to 6 years, had a really, really painful and difficult time during April, May in particular. I have my blips throughout the year, but these are pretty predictably bad months for me. And I'm trying to give myself a lot of grace to, and acknowledge the progress that has been made from the worst times. However, I am also horribly aware of how very much in touch with my rage, self-righteousness, and judgmental side I have been. Very, very close and in touch with those. We are like besties. Besties. The amount of anger and venom that has come spewing out of my mouth in the last month is truly impressive. In a good way, though. I know my children see me in a whole new way, and that is actually really depressing to me. And I've tried to explain to them a number of different times that most of the time I actually have been trying to do my best, and I'm just as shocked and dismayed by the fact that my best is not very good right now, as they may be. And it's not really been directed at them. They've just seen me being like, oh my hell, like I've just come to the conclusion I don't like people, which is always really great. You know, when you've raised your children from earliest times to be kind and empathic and sensitive and really see the world as, you know, most everybody is doing their best and is kind and good in their own way. And then your mother pops up during really a vulnerable time for you going, whoa, you guys, I don't know about all this. I think maybe everybody's actually just an asshole. I mean, I don't think that's been great for them. I don't think they've loved that. But, you know, I do tend to have a really, really, really thin what's the word? Filter. And sometimes it just slips off altogether. And yeah, I haven't really been in touch with my filter. And I have been in very, very good touch with what I said, all the rage. All the rage has been my good friend. All the self-righteousness, all the righteous indignation has been right there for me. It just has not forsaken me during these difficult times. I'm so grateful. Okay, hang on. I got to take a big drink, just a second, of water. Do you hear that? And that's my giant jug of water. This is my water plug. Doesn't that sound appetizing? Doesn't that sound great? Go get your water. Go get your water. I'll wait. Everybody, go get your water. Go hydrate. You know, sometimes I'm just like, Kirsty, if you could just leave it at that. If you could wake up every day, and if your only service to the world would just be like making water, drinking, and hydration seem really appealing, leave it at that, girl. Like, just do not try to do anything else, because that nothing else is in your wheelhouse. You know how important hydration is, and you walk the walk and talk the talk and drink the drink. So you're a good ambassador for hydration. Everything else, just walk away. You are not qualified. And that has certainly been the case this last month or so. This has been a rocky one in terms of liking myself, because I have not been likable or lovable. And I think most people will attest. Most people will agree who have been in contact with me. But They are so lovely. They are so graceful. They are so kind. They are so loving. And they are forgiving. And I am so grateful to them for hanging in there with me. And I think we are all recognizing that we react to things differently. So some people have reacted to this by being hyperproductive. And I think I talked about that in my last podcast. You do not have to be hyperproductive right now, because some people's, you know, trauma response is to freeze. And others' trauma response is to be very, very bitchy. And that is mine. Now, I'm not going to say that that's okay. It's not, because your trauma response can in turn then be traumatic for other people. And so we really, really need to take ourselves in hand. And this is what I've been thinking about. And I find that usually when I'm acting in a way that I really do not appreciate of myself, it's best to take a step back, to be kind and observant, to be my own therapist, and to go, now, why might you be acting in a way that is not fitting of a lovely person like you, Kirsty? Why would you be acting in a way that is not who I know you can be? Let's see. This must be rooted in something deep and dark, and let's just unravel it and figure it out so that you can go on with being your nice, lovely self. Now, this is progress, because I used to be like, well, this just goes to show that deep down you really are a bitch. You are a horrible person. You are the bad, horrible, mean, nasty, lying jerk person that your inner critic has told you you were this whole time. And this just goes to show, because look, during this really difficult time when all these people are acting so well and are like making masks and baking cakes, even on the same day they're fired, I had a friend who lost her job and that same day brought over a pie, like for my family. It was just unthinkably generous and kind. And, you know, here you are just being a bitch, like to anyone who crosses your path, and actually seeking out people who don't, just to be a bitch to them too. Anyway, let's take a look-see at that, because I remember you had quite a bit of kindness in you at one point. And you know, I think I know what it is. And I think if you too are struggling with rage, anger, short-temperedness, irritability, and just, or judgmentalness, I think I might know why, if you're anything like me, what it's all about. It's about fear. When I was a little kid, I grew up in an abusive household, and I was abused and in secret. And I believed that my whole family's eternal well-being, both individually and as a unit, and I loved my family very much, including my abuser. I loved my abuser very much and wanted only the best for him, hung in the balance of me being able to maintain my silence and perhaps persuade him to be a better man and to repent. And it would, if, as long as everybody, I made sure that it seemed okay and that I hadn't really been hurt and that he fixed it with God or his church leader or whatever, then everything would be fine and I'd keep my family together. And for that reason, I'd have nightmare after nightmare, and I still do to this day, when I'm being triggered, as I have been many, many times this month, of like tsunamis coming or and having to rescue everybody in my family and all my friends from a tsunami. You know, buildings burning and me having to drag people out of burning buildings, or just all these different things, or save them from bad guys, or, you know, just doing all these like death-defying things to save a whole bunch of people. And it's hella stressful, right? Wouldn't it be? If you're trying to save a whole town single-handedly, especially if you're a kid having those dreams, it's a lot. So realize that this whole pandemic thing was triggering these old fears. And of course, because it's just during a particularly sort of like heightened period of time for me, cyclically, you know, this trauma tends to be cyclical. So something in the air, something in occasion, something in the smell or sights or light or whatever can really trigger traumatic memories cyclically. So like I said, I'm in a heightened state regardless in the April, May time. I was pretty sure I was going to like hit it out of the park this year because I was doing so much better the rest of the year for a large part. But, you know, then a sort of another opportunity to level up was introduced. And I was sad that I had failed. And I realized it's, you know, this is a perfect storm for somebody who's neurotic in that way, who was, you know, sort of came up or was raised or came up with this idea in their mind that they could protect everybody, that they could save everybody, that they had the control to do that, when in fact I don't, right? I think rational minds will all agree that I only have the control to save my own mind and not even necessarily my own body, right? I can be as careful as anything and I could still get the coronavirus some wacky way, you know? I might have already had it. Who knows? None of us know. I'm being really careful, but it could happen, right? Or I could have a completely unrelated way of exiting, you know, my body. And so what really is in, under my control is my mindset and my spirituality and the things that I do to nurture those or to heal those and keep them healthy. Those are the only things that are under my control. But when sort of trauma comes along, we tend to go to the reptilian brain. We tend to go to a really primal place, right? We tend to just sort of like latch onto whatever our most base level coping mechanisms were if we're not careful, if we're not being really, really disciplined about keeping up our mental and emotional hygiene. And I hadn't been. I was really distracted. I think it might be because something in me was like, okay, we don't have time for all that. I need you to be on high alert so that you can prepare your family, so you can get all the food, the medicine, the paper towels, the Clorox wipes, all that stuff. We need to stock up. We need to think of every eventuality. And so I was almost like put aside the things that kept me zen and healthy and grounded. Because I really, like, I was relying on this trauma response to get me really prepared, which was a mistake. And then I kind of got into that habit of being in this heightened state of awareness, which made me jumpy and irritable and bitchy and judgmental and all the things. And before I knew it, I started to lose ground and forget about all those things and forget about what my inner voice sounds like and forget about where, you know, the voice that I can really trust and my grown-up governing me and my interactions with others. And, you know, all those things started to fall by the wayside. And I think that's really what happened. And it was all sort of fear-based. And that's what I'm trying to remember when people seem unreasonable to me, or they seem irritable or less tolerant than usual. They're also frightened, right? I might be frightened. So they, and maybe they're responding from a fear place without even knowing it. Just like I didn't realize I was responding from a fear place. And there is nothing good about coming from a place of fear. It, unless you are literally being chased and attacked by a threat. It's no good to stay in a continuous heightened state of fear unless that threat is a clear and present danger that you need to remove yourself from in that moment. Fear is not your friend. It's an excellent tool in very short spurts of time, which is why animals are gifted with these like very short spurts of that fear hormone that you will see. I think Seth talked about it in one of his podcast episodes with me, that you'll see them just shake off. You know, a deer will be very, very startled out in the woods. And then they'll like physically shake off that startle response and go back to just grazing peacefully because they cannot maintain that level of cortisol. And human beings aren't really designed to also, but we tend to do that because we think so much. We have very much more complicated brains that allow us to like basically wreck ourselves. So I went for a run with Caroline yesterday, and she, as you might remember, had a knee surgery late last year. It was a major knee surgery, total reconstruction of her knee. And so she's back to running, fairly newly back to running. And it's something that I'm really aware of is her hurting herself, of course, because I don't want her to be in any more pain. I want her knee surgery to be successful, continue to heal successfully, that is, and for her to not have any more setbacks, because I feel like she's suffered enough in that regard. And I want her to enjoy her life and all these good, loving things. I also don't want to have to take her to the emergency room right now, because we don't want to be using up any medical resources or exposing ourselves to any kind of pathogens or viruses. So I was a little bit, you know, keyed up. I always am running with her because as an older, more experienced runner and one who feels less invincible, shall we say, I tend to look at the road and look for obstacles and holes and twigs and all these things, or the path that we're running on. I tend to anticipate danger more, and I just think that's a function of age and experience. And I noticed that she was just looking ahead. She wasn't really, and I kept saying to her, you need to pay attention to the road. And I have in the past reminded her, but you know, that's easy to forget if you're lost in your music and you're getting tired or whatever. And I think it was more that she was getting tired towards the end. She twisted her ankle quite badly twice. And on the second time, I just burst out in this like angry, like exasperated, oh my God, like what? You know, and she was like, this is great. Thank you for being mad at me on top of me hurting myself. That was super helpful. Thanks so much. And I was like, it's not that I'm mad. I was startled. I was worried. The anger is coming from a place of like tension and fear and hypervigilance. I'm like alarmed for you. And, you know, I'm like, I think that's where that rage comes from, because I was in such a state of keyed up and like, I told you so. You know, anytime a mother gets angry and exasperated with her child and says, I told you so, it would behoove the kid to go, it's just because she loves me. Because ultimately, that's where it started. But is it a pure expression of love? No, it's not a good expression of love. It's not a helpful expression of love. My daughter certainly didn't go away with her ankle and her knee and her soul feeling soothed by my, oh my God, look where you're going, after she had her second little run-in with a twisted ankle. She was pretty angry, and rightly so. She was irritated with me, and my soul wasn't soothed, and neither of us came out of that run and feeling like, oh, that was the best thing ever. I feel so much better now, both physically, emotionally, and in our relationship. We have bonded. No, none of those things happened. And I was like, yeah, I talk a good game saying it's only because I'm worried about you, but that is not a pure expression of love. It had circled back around to being very selfish. I was angry with her because she had caused me to be startled. And had she really? Did I need to be startled? Did I need to be in that hypervigilant state? I didn't. I had warned her, and then I could have just trusted her or trusted the outcome and just gone, you know what? She goes running without me also. It is not my job to watch out for every twig for an 18-year-old girl. It is not my job. And I will not be able to run beside her every other time she goes for a run. So just relax. And if I hadn't have been already all keyed up when she turned her ankle, I would have just been just as mildly startled as she was. And I'd be able to give appropriate reaction of compassion and concern. And we would have both gone home feeling a lot better. So I've noted that this hypervigilance and this concern that I think is coming from such a good place and a loving place, actually not, right? It's turned into being this really toxic thing, and it's not justifiable, which is why it's important for me to get back on the horse and do the things that make me grounded and calm and just sitting in a more helpful and beneficial place for both myself and my family and the world at large. If I want to be helpful, I don't need to be keyed up and looking at the news and warning everybody. Other people have the responsibility to look at the news themselves and make their own assessments and their own judgments that make sense for them. And then I need to let go of the ego story that tells me that my judgments are actually better for them and their families. And that I actually am God and should look after all of the people, not just in my home, but in my neighborhood and all of my community and the world at large, which would give me a nervous breakdown and make me very, very insane. Okay, so let's take a little break. And the moment we get back, I'm going to launch into all the things that I am getting back on track with doing, which are helping me to feel better, like myself more, and therefore be kinder and more helpful to others. Back right after this. Okay, I'm back. And before the break, I was talking about my little basket of coping mechanisms that I had somewhat neglected over the last month and I'm trying to get back into using. And I recognize before we go any further that there are so many people who are more busy than they ever were and more stressed and more like short on time and patience and just like capacity for anything new than you ever were before. And that's fine. I'm not trying to, you know, do the whole, you know, new pandemic, new you shtick. I really don't agree with the idea that you know, you have to come out of this with, you know, a whole new hobby or side hustle or body, all of that stuff. I think that that whole concept has got a lot of pushback, and I actually support that kind of pushback. We're all just doing our best to survive. So these things are totally designed to be a comfort measure and a coping mechanism, not something that if you don't get done, are going to add to your levels of stress or guilt or sense of like, that's one more thing I'm not doing and should be doing. They're just things that I find very easy to incorporate into my life. Even during very, very busy seasons of my life. And they really help me to be more productive and calmer and sleep better and just like stay in touch with my highest self, which in turn allows me to be resourceful and resilient and just the kind of person I want to be. When I go to sleep at night, I can feel peaceful about my interactions with the world and my contribution to it. So I'm going to say meditation, you know, I'm going to say it. I just am. There you go. Bam, said it. What I've been doing the last week is a free meditation course that Deepak Chopra and Oprah Winfrey teamed up to do, and they have an app. I think it's called the Deepak Oprah app or Oprah Deepak or whatever. It's free. I think it's like a little purple lotus flower in the app store in iTunes. I used that. I've been using that, and I think it's great because I think they recorded it before all of this went down, but it's called Finding Hope in Times of Uncertainty, I believe, something like that. And they are streaming the 21-day course free, and it's really good. It's pretty long, though, so if you're brand new to meditation, it might not be for you. It's like each session is about 20 minutes long, and it's a long period of silent, unguided meditation after they give their little spiels. So I don't know. If you're new to meditation, maybe just start with something smaller, like 5 minutes here or there that's guided. I found that that was a really good way to get into meditation, and a lot of people, sort of like respond to a less aggressively timed one. I mean, 20 minutes in the course of an entire day isn't a lot, but it feels like a lot, particularly when you're just getting back into meditation. I know I've kind of struggled on some days with it being a whole 20 minutes long. So wherever you can find it, they abound. Meditation apps, a lot of them are doing free trials right now. Calm is one, Headspace is one. What is another one? Well, there's dozens of them. You just have to go in the app store, and there's a lot of wonderful free resources on YouTube. Also Instagram, many meditation teachers and yoga teachers and like spiritual leaders are offering like free guided meditations. They're doing them live. It's really a pretty wonderful time in terms of people coming together and really generously offering their gifts to the world. I've been really inspired by that. But if that seems overwhelming, just, you know, pick some way to meditate and start with 30 seconds of it. Just start with, there's so many different ways to do it, and it's really not as complicated as you think. I find, and I have never found it to be otherwise, that on a day that I have started the day with a proper meditation, my relationships have gone awry. That, I have not ever encountered a conflict that I could not handle gracefully, or at least immediately apologize and say, I could have said that better, on a day that I have started the day with meditation. Even if it wasn't a brilliant meditation, things don't completely jump the track on days that I meditate. It's weird. I don't know what it's about, but it's been the case. That's not to say that I've not had conflicts and irritations and, you know, agitations and all these things and acted perfectly, but those, I've never had like a huge blow up. And that honestly isn't just a real manifestation. When I'm struggling with stress or PTSD specifically, it manifests in like trouble in interpersonal relationships. Like some people turn to drinking, some people turn to like buying shit. I turn to having fights with the people I love, and it's devastating to everybody involved because I really like to have like intimacy, real intimacy in my relationships. I don't like do well with like coldness or aloofness, or maybe something's wrong. Is something wrong? I just like to know that everything's okay. So it's like this real self-sabotaging mechanism. That when I'm feeling bad about myself, what do? I do the thing that I know will hurt me the most, which is like create havoc in my relationships. Bad news. But that has never happened. So that's like my form of alcoholism. Like, you know, like somebody's in trouble when they turn to whatever their vice is. And mine is like having arguments with people. And I don't have any serious problems like that. Okay. Second, deep breathing. So a lot of people have talked about, and it seems to be like a global phenomenon, that people are having a lot of times trouble sleeping lately, and they're having very, very vivid dreams. And I think that that's to be expected. And you know, it's something that I'm really accustomed to, having these very vivid and often traumatic dreams. I talked about that. It's just something I've become accustomed to. But if this is like new for you, it's exhausting and it's stressful, and it can be often be very, very scary. And I've noticed a couple of times I've woken up very triggered and in that state of like, you know, when you're taking that deep frantic breath from a nightmare, or you didn't even remember you're having a nightmare, but you wake up with a sense of doom or gloom on the verge of a panic attack. Maybe you don't know. If you don't know, then you're lucky. If you do know, you know, and it sucks. So I have found that since I've been doing deep breathing, through the Wim Hof breathing method, again, I'm not a teacher of that. I don't get a kickback of any kind. I'm just a massive fan of this Wim Hof breathing method, because it's easy, it's very quantifiable, and it works in lots of ways. It really helps you physically, it helps your immunity, it helps your lung capacity. It's said to be able to help you if you do get respiratory things, if you're accustomed to exercising your lungs, and being able to clear junk out of them through doing some sort of rigorous exercises with them. So it's just like a good thing to start doing right now for just all the different reasons. So I've been doing that, and I found that the more I practice doing that, the moment I go into that traumatized, frantic, like fear response, that verging on a panic attack feeling, I have been able, my like, some mechanism has been tripped in my brain, and a voice says, it's okay, you're safe, just breathe. And I've managed to immediately go into deep, slow breathing, and that fear response is almost immediately taken care of, and to the extent that I'm almost able to go back to bed and go back to sleep and sleep peacefully, which is like unheard of for me. That kind of thing, especially at this time of year, would happen. I wouldn't even realize it was happening, and it would spiral to the extent that I'd just stay in bed for a month, that I would just get so depressed and so traumatized, and it would just go round and round in these awful loops. And now, because I'm practicing, my brain is almost on autopilot with it, so that when I'm still in that confused, half asleep, scared state, some little voice says, it's okay, you're safe, just breathe. And I do. And I think that's had something to do with doing it, and then also doing the cold exposure therapy, where, you know, your body feels like it's in a lot of peril immediately, and there is that panic response, and then being able to slow my breath down in those cold exposure therapy moments. And it's been extremely effective for warding off panic attacks. So if you're struggling with a panic attack, please, please, please research the Wim Hof breathing method. I did an episode on it. If you don't want to listen to that episode, just look it up, download the app, experiment with it, look it up, because it really is good for mental health as well as physical health. So I do the breathing, which is most useful if I do the breathing first and the meditation after, because the breathing kind of gets your cortisol lowered. You're in sort of like the oxygen puts you in some kind of meta state. I don't know. There's science. It's sciencey. It really is. Look it up. It works. It works for me. I do try to exercise every day, at least every other day. I try to get in a run outside. I know it's stressful sometimes. If you can't go outside, if you are in a lockdown where you can't go outside, exercise by an open window, exercise on your porch. If you can, just try to get outside. You know, obviously maintain social distancing. Of course, I am such a proponent of it to a really irritating extent for my poor family and some of my friends. But it's, you know, it's necessary. I don't think we can be too careful right now. until at least we know more and things are more under control. But you can find creative ways to at least get a sense of being outside. Even if you don't want to go for a run, stand out on your front porch or your back doorstep or your stoop or whatever it is, if you're allowed, and do some jumping jacks. Just that sense of being outside of your house, in fresh air, and moving your body is really, really, really good. So those are kind of non-negotiables, those three things. Then if I can add something else from the little basket of coping tricks, I feel really good about myself. Some days it's journaling after I meditate, if I have some extra time and some extra space. That's been really helpful to me. Just write down my feelings. I can start with like, I don't know what I'm going to write. I guess I'm just going to keep writing until I write. Oh, there's something like this. And then it'll become this beautiful sort of like epiphany, or sometimes it's just garbage. Whatever it is, it's always therapeutic. And weirdly, even though I am a writer, I'm never really inclined to do that. It's kind of a discipline every single time, but I never regret doing it. It's really soothing. Another thing I've been doing is trying to do, just keep up with the showering. A few times I've gotten like out of the habit of washing my hair every day because I'm trying to like let it get healthier, and I've heard washing it every day is not optimal. And then, I don't know, it just isn't for me. I feel better when I wash my hair every day, you guys. It just is a thing. So whatever it is, it makes you feel kind of clean. Feeling clean is good for the body and the soul. So if it takes washing your hair every day, then you just got to do it. Like, whether or not it's healthy for the hair, just go ahead. I just, I got out of it, and the week that I was like experimenting with, giving it a few more days, I just did not feel good. It just really affected everything. So that, and because I am kind of a fan of, I don't know, like spa treatments, I guess, I try to do something a little bit extra for myself every day, because I'm not putting on makeup. I'm not, doing the types of things that I usually really like getting dressed up to go out. I'm not a sort of sweatpants, going to the store in sweatpants kind of person. But now I'm kind of enjoying not having to wear jeans. And so I'm taking what I like from the pandemic, lifestyle. And then I'm also remembering things that I like from pre-pandemic. And so I'm giving my skin a break from makeup, but I am like, one day I'll try to pluck my eyebrows, and the next day I'll paint my nails, or another day I'll do a face mask. Just some kind of extra nurturing thing I find is really good for my mental health. It helps me with that sense of normalcy. Another thing I'm trying to do, since we're all a lot more at home than we used to be, is to beautify some space every day. It doesn't have to be in any specific way. Maybe bringing in some flowers from the garden, maybe reorganizing the furniture in some small way, organizing a drawer, creating some kind of solution in your living space feels good. It feels good. It's grounding. Now, you might be busy out of your mind. If you're a teacher and you're a parent of young kids, like, you're like, no, thanks. I've got plenty to do. I do not need these silly little extra things. I don't have time to paint my nails or even look at my nails. I do not have time to clean anything in my house. Fine. Cool. That, I hear you, and Godspeed. Your plate is full. But find something that seems normal and grounding, whatever it is. A show that you used to like to watch, make time to watch that show. Your kids do not have to keep up with every piece of homework that the school sends. Nobody is doing that. Nobody's going to be successful. There will be no prize for the person who did every single shred of homework. And if there is, whatever. You don't need that prize. You don't need that prize. That's too much stress. That is too much stress. We cannot go to business as usual when it comes to doing everything we did before and doing it at home. No. So just do what makes you happy. But for me, that is something that is grounding. To do one nice sort of like extra grooming thing a day in lieu of getting dressed in jeans and putting on makeup and jewelry. I'm doing something similar. And then really trying to reach out to somebody every day. And often it's just, I have several members of family still at home. And often I just feel like, I need to talk to that kid in depth, beyond just being like, hey, are you okay? How are you doing? As they walk past, sitting down with the kid and going, I really have been thinking about how much you must be missing your girlfriend right now, or how much you must be missing your boyfriend, or how much you must be missing playing soccer or having your own space or just being a normal college student. How are you doing with that? Like, how is that feeling? Tell me, you know, how can I help you? What can I do? Because this must be crummy for you. And I really want you to know that even though it might seem like I don't notice, I think about it a lot and I really feel for you and I'm here for you to talk it out. This is a really hard time. And that helps me to access my best self. It helps me to be the person I want to be. And then it also just makes my family relationships closer and allows my kids to lean on me and get the support that I desperately want them to have. And, you know, if everybody in my family is doing well, then I extend it outside of my personal circle and I call a friend. And speaking of calling a friend, sometimes you do that for you, you know, at least every day or every other day, I try to talk to a friend or FaceTime with a friend actually in, you know, voice or FaceTime. I have become way more comfortable with FaceTime than I ever believed possible. Really not fun to see yourself right there in that screen, but you get used to it. You get used to it. You know, you can look away. But I really find that it's so much better than texting for that sense of like, I'm not locked in my house forever. There is life out there. So talk to somebody every day or FaceTime with somebody at least every other day. A group of friends and I have set up a weekly sort of cocktail hour where we all just get together on a Zoom and have a drink, and it's nice and it's helpful. So those are the things that I've been doing, and really just being really diligent with, you know, the exercise, the, getting outside, and then the meditation and the breathing are definitely just non-negotiables. They're helping me to just cope with everything so much more, and then just reminding myself, like, who do you want to be right now? And are you that person right now in this interaction? And if the answer is no, then asking myself gently and just observing without condemnation, why? Why do you think that is? How can I help you to be more of that person? What do you think it is? What do you think it's about? Maybe I just need more rest. Maybe I didn't meditate. Maybe I'm eating only junk. Maybe like chocolate morning, noon, and nighttime isn't a good idea. Maybe add a vegetable. I don't know. You know, so treating yourself like a wise parent and just sort of like dispassionately saying, okay, are you acting right now like the person you always hoped and dreamed you would be in a crisis? Okay, no, well, that's fine. Not everybody can be a hero every day, but let's see how to get you closer to that person. How can I help? You know, help you, help you. How can I help you, help you? So those are my offerings. Nothing massively novel or new, just the same old, because it's tried and true. It's proven, at least by me and a good swath of other reliable sources, even if I'm not reliable. And then of course, back to hydration, hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. I cannot overstate how important it is to hydrate. Thank you so much for being in my audience. If this is your first time, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me. If you have been a faithful listener from the start, you're a gem and I love you. Thank you so much. It's been like an interesting little ride. And if you hung with me, I'm impressed. You know, like it's been pretty erratic in terms of my diligence in being on here and also the subject matter. It's been all over the place. It's plenty of rambling. But I hope that if you keep coming back, it's because you've been finding something that is truly valuable. Even if it is just to laugh and feel less like you're a train smash alone, you know that at least I am just as bad, if not worse. I'm happy to be a service to you in that way. But, you know, that is my goal. If I can be of any assistance to you in, you know, with this platform in the future and you can think of a way, I am always all ears. Please let me know. Also, if you are in an unsafe living situation, there is help out there, plenty of it. You do not have to be. If you don't know how to find that help and you would like to contact me because you don't know who else to reach out to, please do, and we can figure it out together. We can figure it out. We can work on finding you those resources together. Sometimes you just need a hand to hold you, yours, while you do, you know, scary things like that. Likewise, if you don't have enough food for yourself and your family and you don't know where to turn for that, please reach out. I will be happy in joining you on that journey to find resources, and just, you know, being a friendly ear or shoulder. You know, my capacity every day for emotional support is all over the place. I would love to be a better emotional support to literally everybody out there who needs me. And I am recognizing that, some days are better than others, but if you need to reach out and I'm able to help and I'm in a place where I, you know, have the extra space and I feel like I can be helpful to you that day, I will be sure, to, you know, chat to you. If I can't, I might refer you to somebody else. But I do want people to know that you're never alone. And if you can't think of anybody else to talk to, and you're like, nope, I definitely am alone, I am here for you. And I'm not going to make promises I can't keep. I most certainly can hold your hand as we find the resources that are available. There are so many more than people know. There are a lot of mental health resources out there. There are a lot of incredibly generous people who are trying to help in every possible way. And I don't want anybody to feel like they're all alone in this world, because you aren't. Again, thank you so much for joining me on this crazy little train. For 2 whole years, that's pretty cool, pretty amazing. And I was thinking about this analogy. I posted an analogy. It was about a boat in a storm, and it started out by saying we're all in the same boat, but we're not all in the same storm. And I want to adjust a little bit, because it made sense to me differently, that we're all in a storm, but we're not all in the same boat. We are all going through this, we're all in the same ocean, shall we say. And sometimes that ocean is smooth and beautiful, and no matter what boat we're in, we're doing okay. Even if you're on a dinky little raft, or like a piece of plank, or like the door from the Titanic, whatever, you're doing fine. You know, that ocean, it's sunny skies up ahead, and you're managing. And sometimes there's a huge, huge storm. And, you know, some of us came from childhood with not such great boats. Like, our boats are a little bit damaged, or they're a little bit primitive, or they're just the door from the Titanic or whatever. And I'm so grateful to the people with beautiful yachts that they might have built themselves over the years through their, you know, own hard work, or maybe they were bestowed a beautiful yacht by their very mentally healthy and loving family, you know, of birth and whatever. But who have been so generous with those, like, very seaworthy boats that they've allowed me to take a ride on them, or they've been able to, you know, help me to repair my little boat and make it a little bit better, you know, with time, that they've been able to, you know, reinforce it for me and make it that little bit sturdier. And that's the thing. I think we, you know, right now we are all in this ocean, and the weather is fairly bad. It's really bad. And some people are weathering it pretty well, you know, for different reasons. And their boat is just kind of like more of a cruise ship, and it's barely noticing, you know, what's going on. And other people are on like one, you know, Titanic door, and it's steadily becoming like a plank, you know. And we need to recognize that. I think, you know, mostly when I say we, I mean me, you know, that we're all in different boats. We don't exactly know what everybody's boat looks like. We think we do, but maybe we don't. Maybe we don't realize that there's like a huge, you know, even the Titanic beautiful cruise ship, you know, there's a big hole in the bottom and it's sinking fast. We might not know that. And so trying to be as kind as possible and make, you know, offering people a ride on our boat, and not, you know, if they're looking like they're struggling, not pushing them down with our oar, but actually offering that oar as, you know, as a hand to bring them onto our boat, or to at least, you know, give them a little bit of a rest, here and there is so important right now, and it's so good for all of us as a community to recognize that, you know, it's one of those rare times when we are just, you know, going through a big bad storm all together. And, you know, look out for each other. Look out where we can. Look out for each other however we can. And whatever your capacity is on that day, give what you can that day. And then if it's not much and your capacity is only to keep yourself alive, then congratulate yourself for that, because that is a contribution. If you come out of this alive, then we are really glad. You are a worthy person to keep alive right now. So recognize that. You don't have to do, if your capacity is only keeping you going and keeping you sane, then that is as worthy a contribution as any other, because you matter as much as anybody else. And if all your work and energy is going into keeping, you know, you going, that's also okay. Give yourself a break and do everything necessary to do that. You are greatly loved. You are greatly appreciated. And thank you so much once again. If you want to contact me, you can through iTunes. You can also contact me at kirsty.sayer@gmail.com. I'm also on Facebook Messenger. I have a public profile, Kirsty Sayer. And on Instagram, which is my favorite, and I'm always trying to plug my Instagram because I do Instagram stories and I set them to music and I do fun and quirky things, and I just love my Instagram story, and I do not feel like it gets enough traction. So I just think it's such a fun place. I am Momedy Kirsty, like comedy, but mom. Momedy Kirsty, all one word on Instagram. So join me over there and I will join you back. Thanks again for your support and your love. I can feel it even if I cannot see it. And I will talk to you very soon. Stay safe out there. Bye-bye.